Chapter 14. The Hound of the Baskervilles.
One of Sherlock Holmes's defects is that he rarely communicates his plans until the instant they are realized. He likes to dominate and surprise the people around him. But it is also a question of professional discretion. He doesn't like taking risks. For his assistants, it can be a difficult experience. And that evening, it was particularly frustrating. As we drove to the moor towards our supreme adventure, he said nothing. I was full of emotion and anticipation. We descended from our carriage near the hall gate and walked towards Merripit House. We were all armed, ready for emergencies. Holmes still didn't say anything about his plan.
This moor is not a very happy place,
said Lestrade with a shiver. There was a huge lake of fog over the quicksands. We saw the lights of the house and moved cautiously along the path. Holmes stopped us at a safe distance from the house, and we hid behind some rocks.
You went to the house, Watson. Which windows are those?
Asked my friend. One is the kitchen, I answered. The other illuminated window is the dining room.
Go closer to the house and see what they are doing,
Holmes ordered. I moved in the shadows and looked in through the dining room window. Sir Henry and Stapleton were inside, smoking cigars and drinking coffee. Sir Henry looked pale, worried by the idea of that lonely walk across the moor. As I watched, Stapleton stood up, and I heard a door open. I saw him come out and go to a shed. There was a curious noise of something moving. Then he reappeared and re-entered the house. I reported the scene to my companions, and Holmes was perturbed by the absence of Miss Stapleton. The dense, white fog moved slowly but inexorably in our direction, and this perturbed Holmes too.
This is very serious,
he murmured.
It's the only thing that can damage my plans. Sir Henry must come out soon. It's 10 o'clock. Our success, and perhaps his life, depend on his appearance before the fog covers the path.
Above us the night was clear. The stars shone cold but bright, and a half moon gave a soft, uncertain light. Now only the dining room window was illuminated. With every minute, the white wall of fog came closer and soon began to surround the house.
Why doesn't he come out?
Holmes said impatiently.
We must move on to higher terrain.
We were now half a mile from the house. Suddenly, Holmes put his ear to the ground.
At last! I can hear him coming!
Quick steps broke the silence of the moor, and Sir Henry came out of the fog. He walked fast along the path below us, looking behind him with great preoccupation.
Shh!
Holmes cried, taking out his pistol.
It's coming!
We heard a large beast running. An expression of incredulity appeared on Holmes's face. Lestrade threw himself onto the ground. I jumped up, pistol in hand, but paralysed by that terrible shape coming out of the fog. It was a hound, enormous and black. Fire came from its open mouth. Its eyes glowed, and its muzzle was surrounded by flames. The huge creature ran down the path, following Sir Henry. It passed below us before we came out of our state of shock. Then Holmes and I both fired our pistols. The creature gave a horrific howl, but continued towards the baronet. Sir Henry's face was white in the moonlight, and his hands were up in horror. But the hound's cry of pain gave us hope. If it was vulnerable, it was mortal, and it could be killed. But we had very little time. The beast jumped on Sir Henry, and he fell to the ground. We ran closer as the creature attacked his throat. Holmes was the fastest and fired at the beast 5 times. With a final howl of agony, it fell and died. Sir Henry was still on the ground. He didn't give any signs of life, but we saw with relief that he wasn't wounded. His eyes slowly opened, and he looked at us, his face a mask of horror.
My God,
he whispered.
What was it?
It was the family ghost,
said Holmes.
But now the Hound of the Baskervilles is dead forever.